The government may be partially shut down, but that does not apply to politicians who are considering a run for president. And Jeremy, you can gird yourself, you can brace yourself, whatever you want to do. The campaigning for 2020 has already started.
So we should get ready for a slew of presidential announcements starting in January. Joining us to talk about it, Kay Henderson, who covers politics for Radio Iowa. Hi, Kay.
Hello.
And Paul Steinhauser covers politics in New Hampshire. Hi to you, Paul.
Great to join you guys.
Okay, so when you look at the field or the potential field, it looks like it's going to be pretty big on the Democratic side. How unusual is that, Paul?
It's compared to last cycle, very unusual. Remember, the specter of a Hillary Clinton candidacy, which eventually happened, kept the competition to a minimum. Really, it was in the end, it was just Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. This time around, as Kay and I are experiencing, we're seeing a lot of traffic in both the early voting states. So it's going to keep people in Iowa and New Hampshire very, very busy.
Kay, what are you seeing there in Iowa? It's amazing that this is already getting started, that these candidates are already rolling through these early states.
Right. You have candidates who were here on the 20th for a holiday party to say hello to progressive Democrats in Iowa's capital city. And you had many Democrats who came through the state in advance of the 2018 election. Senators Harris and Booker really made an impression with Iowa Democrats, but they are not alone in people hoping to make an impression here.
And when you look back to what happened in previous cycles, in 2016, President Trump did not make his announcement that he was in the race until June of 2015. President Obama didn't make his announcement until February of 2007 for the 2008 election. Paul, what about Beto O'Rourke this time around? A lot of people are watching him. He's an outgoing congressman. He lost his election for Senate against Ted Cruz in Texas, but he is reminding many people of President Obama. What are you hearing about Beto O'Rourke?
There's a lot of enthusiasm for Beto O'Rourke here in New Hampshire among some of the activist class. In fact, some have invited him to come to New Hampshire and have started up Facebook pages, and they're on Twitter as well with their open invitations to Beto O'Rourke. He seems to be like the current rock star among some in the Democratic activist class. I think O'Rourke is smart enough right now not to come to either Iowa or New Hampshire or South Carolina, because if he did, it would spark a lot of speculation. He needs to figure out what he wants to do. He came very close to beating Ted Cruz in November in Texas, closer than any Democrat has come statewide in quite some time. There's a lot of people who want him to run for president, but there are plenty of others who would like to see him take on Senator John Cornyn in 2020 in Texas. Mm.
So he's a young guy, but he's also a white guy. Kay, is that a liability this time around?
That's something to be determined. The Des Moines Register issued an Iowa poll recently, and Beto's name was near the top, as was Biden's and Bernie's. And what occurred to me was, I think Democratic activists really are living online. He was very active with an online presence. And so at this point, I think everything that we see in terms of polling data is all about name recognition. Pretty soon it's going to be boots on the ground. People will be meeting these candidates face to face and making a different kind of evaluation.
What about Joe Biden, Paul? Is he likely to, if as Kay says, it's all about name recognition right now, obviously he has very high name recognition. Is he likely to stay where he is in these early polls, which is at the top of the pack on the Democratic side, after people start to get to know the other candidates?
Yeah, Biden doesn't suffer from name recognition, right? He's the most well-known Democrat, and if you look at any poll, he's got the most the best favorable numbers. But you look at past cycles, and the person who was on top of the polls when the cycle began wasn't always the person who finished up winning the nomination. That's just the way it is.
Jeb Bush was ahead in the early days of the
President
2016
Jeb? Election. President Jeb? Oh, no, he didn't win, did he? Right.
That's a good point. Now, Kay, I wonder if you could weigh in on this. I've been wondering if a Midwesterner will need to emerge for Democrats to be successful in 2020, because they essentially ceded that territory to Donald Trump in 2016. And, you know, there are some coastal Democrats who are running in the front right now, but I'm not sure that that's going to translate to people in the middle of the country. What are you noticing there in Iowa?
Well, one thing I have noticed is that neighboring Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota spent a great deal of time, even though she was on the ballot this year, in Iowa prior to the election, campaigning with Iowa Democrats, and she brought a message which you just referenced. Our party, Democratic Party, she said, needs to reflect Midwestern values. So we do have someone who's carrying that bucket, if you will, in addition to the other sort of lanes for maybe a moderate candidate and others who are going to emerge and sort of occupy different space within this race.
On the other hand, President Trump was obviously not from the Midwest. He's a New Yorker and had never won political office before. There are a couple people that are being talked about this time around who fall into that basket, including former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who seems to be flirting with a run, or someone like the San Francisco billionaire Tom Steyer, who's been running Trump impeachment ads for months now. What kind of waves are they making, Paul?
Well, Steyer's been up here a couple times this year. He's built up a strong organization in the state, Next Gen America, which is one of the top progressive groups that motivates younger people to vote. They've got offices here and in Iowa and some of the other early voting states. So he's already got a toehold in the ground here. And yeah, he's got a little bit of name recognition because of his need to impeach movement, which has taken him across the country. Bloomberg made a quick stop here just before the midterm elections in New Hampshire to endorse some candidates that were part of his gun safety coalition. He's obviously got plenty of money as well, you know, which will come in handy. It'll help you get your message out. Bloomberg may be, though, maybe a little bit too moderate for the Democrats. You know, all the energy right now in the Democratic Party seems to be with the progressives rather than with the moderates.
I think you can't count someone out who can write a check to finance his own campaign. Mr. Bloomberg was here a couple of weeks ago after the election and did what you would expect a traditional candidate to do. I mean, he stood outside in really frigid weather to look at a wind turbine and talk with students who are learning how to fix wind turbines. So he has done a lot to sort of lay a groundwork for a campaign if he chooses to do so. And he really is hammering on the climate change issue, as many of your listeners well know. And that's a popular issue with Democrats that we heard throughout previous campaigns. When you go to a town hall meeting, what do candidates get asked about on the Democratic side? Climate change.
And Bloomberg is also a big advocate for gun control. He's been talking about that as well. Kay, what about the women who are competing? Obviously, we're coming out of the Me Too movement, or we're still in the
right.
Me Too movement. And we haven't yet talked about Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts, Kamala Harris from California, and maybe even Hillary Clinton. There's speculation she could run again.
I do think there is a slice of the Democratic Party here in Iowa that is keen to nominate a woman. But until those candidates get out here and have a conversation with Iowans and folks are able to see them on the debate stage, you know, the DNC has announced this series of debates that sort of will rival what Republicans did last time around.
Starting in June.
Right. Giving the candidates a chance to literally be compared side by side. I think that's going to be a huge driver in the conversation in 2019 and 2020, the same way it was in 2015 and 2016.
Okay.
For
and
Republicans.
Just very quickly, Paul, we've been talking about maybe up to 40 Democrats putting their hat in the rings for this, but only one Republican at this point, Donald Trump. Is anyone going to primary him?
Well, we've had multiple visits this year from Ohio Governor John Kasich. Remember, he came in second here in the New Hampshire primary in 2016 to Trump, and he has remained a very voracious critic of the president. And he is somebody who's seriously thinking about, primary challenging the president. Keep your eyes on him. Let's see if Jeff Flake returns to New Hampshire again. There's even talk that maybe Ben Sasse. But regardless of if any of these guys do this, you know, Donald Trump will still remain being the overwhelming favorite to win, you know, the primary nomination battle.
Okay, just finally, I want to ask you, Kay, we are talking to both of you. You're from the traditional first states in the process, Iowa and New Hampshire, but California has now decided to leapfrog ahead of where it used to be to March 3rd, 2020, joining at least eight other states on that Super Tuesday. How different do you think the primary calendar is going to be this year than it was in 2016, at least on the Democratic side?
It's really hard to think of this without remembering President Giuliani, who skipped Iowa and spent all of his time campaigning for Florida's primary, which was fairly close to Iowa and New Hampshire. That didn't work out well for him.
Kay makes a great point that, listen, Iowa and New Hampshire will still have their traditional role of winnowing the field. With California and Texas and a bunch of other states now going to be voting on Super Tuesday, the overall nomination battle may end a little earlier than we've seen in past cycles. But I think Iowa, New Hampshire, and the other two early voting states will still have their role in narrowing the field.
That is Paul Steinhauser, who covers politics in New Hampshire, and Kay Henderson, who covers politics for Radio Iowa in Iowa. We'll be talking to you a lot, I'm sure. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.